Thank you for listening to the Fieldcraft Survival Podcast. I'm Kevin Estella. Just want to give a quick shout out to the Sig Sauer Academy and Sig Sauer. They're one of our sponsors here at the Fieldcraft Survival Podcast. And Sig is one of those awesome companies that I've really enjoyed working with over the years. Even before I joined the ranks of the Fieldcraft Survival crew, I was going up to the Sig Sauer Academy back in 2015 and training up there. Guys, if you can't train with us at one of our locations, go up to New Hampshire, go meet the folks from the Sig Sauer Academy and train with them up there. There's a lot to do in the live free or die state. And I'll tell you, you can make a weekend out of it. So you show up the night before, you do your thing, go out to dinner, take the wife or the husband, whatever you got. And the next morning, go out, get a good breakfast, train, go to the experience center, get a good meal at Goody Cole's. Go stay at the Exeter Inn, great place, and just really just enjoy that area. New Hampshire is one of the greatest states to train in, super friendly people, and I think you're really going to enjoy training at the Sig Academy. I've been there probably 24 times in my lifetime, and I've done everything from the pistol classes to the carbine classes, the defensive shotgun courses, and the precision rifle courses. Probably the most fun you're going to have there is bullets on vehicles, where you do a lot of ballistic training through glass and into vehicles. And probably one of the most important classes you will ever take is the 3-day precision rifle class, because it will make you a better shooter across every platform. Not to mention you get a chance to shoot out to 1,000 yards. Sig is really, really raising the bar, you can say that. With the Experience Center, I mean, they've got a museum there. They have an indoor shooting range. The Pro Shop is a place where you can spend a lot of money, so just be real careful. And while you're up there, look for, you know, some of my good buddies that are up there in the instructor cadre. If you see Cav, tell him that you got Cadbury eggs, and I'm sure he'll do all sorts of things for you, helping you out with, you know, your skill set on the range and all. So guys, please check out SigSauer.com. And please check out the Sig Sauer Academy. And by the way, that is how it's pronounced, Sig Sauer. It's not Sig Sauer. And I think you're going to have a great time. So, all right, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Fieldcraft Podcast. Until next time. This podcast is brought to you by Vertex. Guys, please go over to www.vertex.com. Vertex is a technical clothing company, technical backpack company, and they make a whole variety of backpacks and range bags, everyday carry bags, and pretty damn good clothing. In fact, I actually have a pair of Vertex pants that goes back to 2016. I wore them on a pilot episode for a TV show that I filmed for the History Channel back in the day. I took them through the desert. I've tried destroying these pants just by wearing them through briars and all sorts of stuff, and they just keep coming. They might have a whole bunch of pine sap on them, but hey, they still keep me covered and decent. Guys, if you go over to www.vertex.com and you use the code FIELDCRAFT, that's FIELDCRAFT, you can get 20% off of your order. While you're there, take a look at the Tactigami. That's the folding fabric that you can use to create mag pouches, radio pouches, all sorts of accessories on the inside of the packs. It's pretty cool stuff. I'm a big fan of their dedicated magazine pouches for the range. I have one loaded up anytime I go, just so I don't have to jam mags at the range. So guys, please go over to www.vertex.com, check out all the stuff that they have, and do not forget that code FIELDCRAFT to get 20% off your order.
This podcast is all about survival, responsibility, and the art of being prepared in every aspect of life. In our world, one question reigns supreme. Are you prepared enough for both known and unknown challenges? Well, the U.S. Concealed Carry Association members get the education, training, and self-defense liability insurance that they need to be ready for both of those challenges, the known and the unknown. And that's exactly why we have them as a sponsor for today's episode. We only can survive when we plan, and the USCCA is the plan to be 100% prepared in the face of any threat. With the USCCA membership, you'll be ready for the mental, physical, and legal sadly, ramifications of self-defense, because let's be honest, people like us can't afford to take chances in that department. The level of resources that they provide is why 800,000 members, from seasoned veterans to new gun owners, trust the USCCA for their survival and self-defense needs. So head over to uscca.com/FCS to start your risk-free membership today. That's uscca.com/FCS.
Hey guys, welcome to the Fieldcraft Survival Podcast. I'm your host for this episode. My name is Kevin Estella. I'm coming to you from the home recording office. I'm not at the outpost today. It's actually Sunday night, and I just got back from a trip down to Florida where I was getting some sun, trying to recover from whatever bug I picked up at the Western Hunt Expo. Great show. Got a chance to see some awesome people out there. But I came home with whatever bug was going around. So if you guys have ever heard of the SHOT Show flu, there was something very similar that was out there, and I'm still feeling it. It is what it is. So if you guys have been paying attention to our YouTube channel, which I think is still demonetized, which is awesome. Please read the sarcasm in my voice. Guys, there's been a number of videos put out about different loadouts that I've talked about. Number one is, let's do a walk around in my Forerunner, 185,000 miles. Like, this is what I have on my daily driver. And then there was a video that was put out about like what I would advise students to carry in the backcountry carrier. And the most recent video that just came out as I'm recording this like 24 hours ago is the what do I have in the back of my Forerunner, like in the cargo area, up on the Cali Raised LED upper deck thing, and then the Boss Strong box, lock box, like what do I carry in the back of my vehicle? And I get it. You guys like those, and I'm happy to talk about what I recommend and what I carry. Of course, your needs are always going to be different because we're very different people. And if you were to say to me, hey, what's the best boot? I would say a size 13. You know, I like my Loa Zephyr Gore-Tex boots. That might not fit your foot, but it works for me. So you have to find what works for you. And I've been getting a lot of requests for more of these videos, more of these loadouts. And if you are joining the podcast because you've been paying attention to the loadout videos, then this one will hopefully resonate with you. And what I'm going to do on this podcast is talk about what do I carry in my rucksack. So this is going to be like soup to nuts, everything that you might want to know, like what do I carry in my backpack? Why do I carry it? What's the reason behind it? And so on and so on. So I'll preface this by saying that I'm going to try my best to stay within the 10 essential needs. And you might be wondering like, well, what are the 10 essential needs? Why aren't you saying like 10 essential items? And I'll say right now that there is no such thing as like a set number of items that you are allowed to carry. There never should be, because if you apply the whole idea of primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency planning, then you'll realize like, okay, well, there are four items technically for any one need. So for fire starting, your ferro rod, that's one method. Does that count as one item? Matches, that's another method. Does that count as two items? Bic lighter or Zippo lighter, there's three. Well, there's 30% of your 10 essential items if we were to go by simple numbers. So I say, screw that, go by the 10 essential needs. And I'm going to repeat these 10 essential needs throughout the podcast in case you guys are taking notes. Probably a smart idea. First one is cutting needs. Second is fire starting needs. Third is hydration needs. Fourth are shelter. Fifth, signaling. Sixth, trauma and first aid. Seven, cordage. Eight, navigation. Nine, illumination. And 10, food and food gathering. Now, there are some other needs that are out there. Like you need sleep. You need morale boosters. You need things that make life comfortable. And I'll talk about those later, but I'm going to focus on those 10 essential needs and also talk about like the different levels of kit that you might have. So for example, like what I carry every day in my pockets, that's like my level one kit. I never leave home without a baseline of gear, and that fits in my pockets. Now, if I go to level two, that's what kind of fits on my belt or in a chest rig if I'm, you know, out and about doing a short hike. And level three is pack. So what fits in my rucksack? So I'm going to primarily focus on what fits in my rucksack today. And I'm going to go through all of those different items. I have my backpack right here, and I'm just toggling back and forth, by the way, between the book that I wrote, which is 101 Skills You Need to Survive in the Woods, and my backpack, because instead of just taking notes, I'm just going to cite from my book and talk about the other stuff. So I'm going to jump into this. The backpack that I have right here, this is my Kafaru shape charge. And on the outside of the Kafaru shape charge is what's called the Sherman pocket. Sherman pocket attaches with a couple buckles on the bottom and then a couple buckles on the side. And then there's one buckle that goes around the center, like a cummerbund. And it adds like another 200 cubic inches or 400 cubic inches of capacity, which takes the shape charge into that like 3-day assault pack size. So if you're familiar with like the Eagle A3 backpack that was super popular in the 2000s, that's the 3-day assault pack backpack size. So we're looking at roughly 1,000 cubic inches per day. So around 3,000 cubic inches total. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through all these different items. This is going to be first with the backpack, and then I'll explain where other items are. And like I said, I'm fighting off whatever I got in Salt Lake City. So you guys are gonna have to like deal with my kind of froggy voice. Okay. So in this backpack, if I look at the very top pocket, in the top pocket, I have my navigation kit. For basic navigation, you need a map, you need a compass, and you need a few very, very basic tools, a UTM protractor, a mechanical pencil. You don't need it, but it's nice to have. It's a 1 to 24,000 ruler, and that 1 to 24,000 ruler will help you measure distance. So if I look inside of this pouch, and this is a Magpul DACA pouch, I've got my compass, which is a Suunto MC2D. I have mechanical pencils. I have a small right and rein pad. And I've got my UTM protractor, my ruler. The only thing that's not in here right now, and it's in my actual day pack that I travel with, you've probably seen the YouTube video on what I carry in that one, is my Garmin InReach and my Garmin Fortrek 601. When I go into the woods, I take those out of the day pack that rides with me every single day, and I put it into the backpack that I take into the woods. Now, with all of those items, with that InReach, that is also going to address signaling later on. But with the Garmin Fortrek 601, with my navigation pouch, I have everything that I need to make sure that I stay found and I can go about my way in the great outdoors. That is usually up at the very top of my backpack. And there's a couple other things that ride at the very top of my backpack. I have a cut down VS17 panel. If you guys follow John Barklow from Sitka, he recommends a VS17 panel. Aaron Snyder, good friend from Kafaru, he's a fan of using VS17 panels for hunting. A cut down version of that doesn't take up a lot of space, and it gives you something that's very bright that you can see quite some distance away. So that sits right up at the very top of my pack. Other things that are up in this top pocket, I have a length of 550 cord. This is the Blaze Orange stuff. I don't plan on, you know, setting up my shelter where I need everything to be super camouflaged. Sometimes it pays to have cordage that stands out. And this cordage is Blaze Orange. And this cordage is about 50 feet. So 50 feet of 550 paracord that is up at the very top of my backpack. Let's close this one up. All right. The next pocket. This next pocket I leave relatively empty because that's where I put my wallet. That's where I put my car keys. There's a key fob in here for car keys. So that's where that goes. And it's pretty much where anything goes that doesn't fit on my inside my pockets. Now, if I'm hiking a long distance, I really don't like having my wallet in my back pocket. I don't even like having a Swiss Army knife in my pants pocket. I'll generally take those and put them in the, you know, my chest rig, or I'll put them in a Ziploc bag and I'll put them inside my backpack. That way it just doesn't wear on my leg. So that's what that very, very topmost pocket contains. Okay. So now, something that's sandwiched between the Sherman pocket and the main portion of my bag is a folding sit pad from Tough Possum Gear. You don't need all the comfort in the world in the great outdoors, but there is a minimum amount of comfort that's needed for the emergency night out. I don't carry all of the equipment in this backpack for the perfect night in a shelter. I carry just enough in here to get that emergency bivouac with a relative, or get through that emergency bivouac with a relative amount of comfort. So this folding seat pad is Ranger Green on one side, Blaze Orange on the other. It folds in half so I can put part of it underneath my ass and part of it on my lower back. I can lean up against a tree. I can also sit on my backpack if I need to, which that's come in handy a few times. But that sit pad weighs almost nothing, and it serves as a signal. It serves as something to protect me from conductive heat loss. And that's something that's going to be in my backpack at all times. Okay. So now inside the Sherman pocket, this is where I've got my Grail water filter. The Grail water filter has really become my standard for water treatment. And I have the titanium version. The guys at Grail sent me them, and I appreciate them for sending that out. And if you guys can splurge, if you have the means, get the titanium version. And here's why. With the titanium version, you're addressing your 10 essential needs, water treatment. With titanium, you can boil in the water. You can boil in the water. You can boil water in the fire. And if you can't make a fire, let's say that you're in an area where there is a fire restriction, then what you're able to do is you're able to just use it as is, which is with the filter agent. So you can press the water, and as long as you can push water through the Grail, it's safe to drink. So there's two methods. The third method is you can use the container. Let's say that you lose the filter. Let's say you can't make a fire. If you carry Aqua Tabs or MP1 tablets, you can always use the container that it is to treat water that way. So you have three different methods of treating water with one system. So I like having my Grail on the outside of my pack. The only time that I won't use a Grail is in the middle of winter. And in that case, that's when I go back to my standard titanium canteen. If you're using a Grail in the winter, you are gambling. Now, Grails can survive one or two freezings, but you typically do not want to ever let your water filter freeze, because the membrane, or I should say the filter element, it is semi-porous. When it gets moist, and yeah, I said moist, that water, when it freezes, will turn to ice, it expands, and it can crack. So therefore, you don't want to use a Grail in the winter. Now, you can get away by carrying your Grail inside your coat where you have a microclimate that your body's making, but I still don't like the idea of using Grails in the winter. And that's when I just go strictly to boiling and tablets. All right, so now let's get to some other things. Purcell Trench. Purcell Trench makes a titanium grill. And this is a little bougie, I'm not gonna lie. My friend Lieutenant Mike turned me onto this one because I do a lot of cooking over fire, and you can get by with just putting rocks down on the ground and balancing pots, but it is pretty nice to have a grill that you can rest your pots on. So I have a very, very lightweight titanium Purcell Trench grill that's on the outside. That's probably something that is a little spendy, but cook enough outside and you're going to want one. All right. One of the most important things, and this goes towards first aid, toilet paper. You're going to see a lot of people online and they're going to have flat lays of all their equipment, and all the equipment's going to look really clean because, you know, you got to make the sponsors happy and you got to show all the labels on the outside. And that's typically what Instagram influencers do. Not many include toilet paper, and we all got to go. And when you got to go, you got to finish the job with a little bit of paperwork. So toilet paper goes a long way. I carry toilet paper on the outside of my backpack because I don't want to dig for it when I need it. I don't want to have to do the shuffle with my pants down around my ankles, like running back to my backpack because I thought I grabbed the toilet paper and I didn't. So that's always carried on the outside. Okay, before I get to the inside pockets, I'm going to talk about the waist belt pockets. On the Kafaru Sherman pack, it's got a Molly waist belt, and I've got two medium belt pouches that are attached there. Now, some would say that these get in the way when you're hiking. I don't necessarily find it to be the case. My arms don't swing into them. But on the waist belt pouch on the right, this is where I have some basic med gear. I have pills, and these pills are the ones that are for all the common ailments. So I have Tylenol, I have Benadryl, I have Imodium. Those are the basic pills that you need. And then on this side, this is also where I keep a broken down BCK, which is one of our Fieldcraft components, trauma components. So that's where I have my Cat7 tourniquet. I have hemostatic gauze. I've got chest seals. I have that very, very close to the outside of the pack. It's in a separate pouch. And the reason why it's there is because I don't want to, again, dig for it at the very bottom of my bag when I need it. So first aid components, you're going to need trauma gear and you're going to need basic first aid stuff. Those are one of the essential needs. So again, I said I was going to mention a few times, the essential needs are cutting, fire starting, hydration, shelter, signaling, trauma, first aid, cordage, navigation, illumination, and food and gathering. Okay. So I haven't gotten to cutting yet. I haven't gotten to fire starting. Mentioned a little bit about hydration, didn't get to shelter yet. A little bit about signaling, mentioned trauma, a little bit of cordage, mentioned nav. We're going to talk about illumination in just a minute, as well as food. So still going. Now on the other side of the waist belt, there is another medium belt pouch. And this medium belt pouch has food in it. When you're on the trail, you don't always have the time to stop and break out the jet boil, stop and break out the different foods that you want to prepare. And you just need to eat on the go. Cliff bars, high energy GORP. So peanuts, raisins, M&Ms, right? Basic sustenance. That's where all of that is. It's on my left-hand side. And something for morale, something that I learned goes a long way. Candy, like little things of candy. Like you wouldn't think that it would taste all that great to have like Jolly Ranchers or chocolate, but depending on the time of year, as long as it doesn't melt, it is awesome having candy in camp. So that's what's right there on the left belt pouch of this pack.
Hey guys, it's Mike Hernandez, your resident mobility director at Fieldcraft Survival. I have a PSA for you today, and that is you need to get outside and go camping more. You got to. Reap the benefits. Get the fam, get the kids, get the dog, pack some food, get your vehicle together, and go get long exposure to the sun with some vitamin D, fresh air, and then like that perfect middle of nowhere sleep. You know what I'm talking about. Well, some people are like, well, I would like to do that, but I don't have the ability to do that at night because I'm afraid of the dark. Well, if that's you, I have a solution for you too. KC Highlights has partnered with us, and they've given us a coupon code for a discount on select items, and that code is Fieldcraft. Good for anybody in the tribe. Use it, get on their website, set up your vehicle so you don't have an excuse, and go camp more. Casey Highlights has a slogan, it's adventure further. And you got to be set up for the night if that's what you plan. Check them out, guys. Catch you on the next one.
Now, before I get into the main part of the pack, there is a there are two tunnel pockets that are on the outside. Excuse me. And these tunnel pockets are where you can put water bottles, you can put extra gear. And what I have in them right now, I have a small Silky saw, and between the Silky saw and the Bako Laplander, they're both fantastic saws. You can't go wrong with either. This is the Gomboy, relatively lightweight, and they know how to make a saw. This one has the medium teeth. Japanese make an incredible saw, and it's taken over in the bushcraft world. So right there is a Silky Gomboy, and that goes in one of the tunnel pockets. And then I carry an extra stuff sack in that tunnel pocket. And that stuff sack is for extra clothing that I may need to attach to my pack. It's for extra food that I might need to attach to the outside of my pack or whatever. All that is, you know, right here. So I've got extra stuff sack, and that just rides in the outside of my bag. Try not to fill up your backpacks to capacity. If you fill up your backpack to capacity, you don't leave any room in case you need to expand that capacity. And you never know what you're going to find on the trail. So it's always good to kind of leave that extra space. Same goes for your cars. Like, if you always ride around with no room, then you're going to have to clear stuff out. It just is an inconvenience. You're not going to want to do it. All right, so let's get to the inside of this backpack. Okay. So on the inside of this backpack, on the inside of the flap, there is a mesh pocket. And this mesh pocket allows you to see the contents pretty rapidly. This backpack is one that I use on courses. So whether it's Modern Survival Skills or the Wilderness Survival Overnight or the Advanced Survival Experience, or even just some of the stuff I do with my buddies, this is the pack that I usually teach out of. And in this pouch right here, this is like a heavy duty lock sack Ziploc bag. This is my fire kit. I've got an Exotac candle. I have an Exotac fire sleeve, an Exotac fire rod. Rob from Exotac is a good friend. We actually have a couple things coming out this year, but I've been using their products for quite some time, and he's actually been on the podcast. So got to support him. Something that a lot of people question when I take it out in classes, they're like, what is that? It's called a fire bellows. What a fire bellows is, think of like an old car antenna. It expands or it extends. And what it does is it allows you to keep a safe distance when you're blowing into a fire, allows you to concentrate your breath into the coals. And it's one of the greatest things you'll ever use. They're only about $10. Badger Claw Leather sells them. A whole bunch of people sell them. So I've got that in here. I also have a traditional match case, and that has Yuko storm matches in there. My primary method will vary between lighter and ferro rod. My alternate will be the other one that's not the primary. My contingency method of making fire is going to be matches. They're fragile. These are like little road flares. I love them to death. That's what I got right here. I also have a Fresnel lens, and I can always fall back on friction fire starting. And guys, even though I'm proficient with the bow drill and I understand friction fire and I've made it, I don't know how many times over 20 plus years, I don't want to resort to it. And I think there's a couple pet peeves I have. Number one, I think if you were to talk to anyone from primitive times and say, hey, would you want to continue using the bow drill or have a ferro rod? They would all take the ferro rod. Number two, I think there are too many people that are demonstrating friction fire methods barefoot. And I think it's more for style than anything else. It works just as well if you have a pair of boots on, and you're also a little bit more responsible if you did have to move around that campfire. I'd rather have you guys moving around with boots on than barefoot. So that's my fire kit. That's on the top of my pack right here. Okay. This next item right here is Something you could say is for first aid, but it's also for food gathering. You could say it's for morale. It's a mosquito head net. This one just happens to be from Ben's Outdoors. Also on the very top of my pack is a... Didn't sound like I wanted it to. Yeah. Spoon fork from Heavy Cover. You can carve a spoon if you want. Shout out to Brian, Wilderness Woodcraft. I want to just carry a spoon with me. Okay, so now getting into the main portion of the pack, continuing inside chamber pocket, I have all my knife sharpening gear. If you're going to carry a knife sharpener. And in this case, I have a Falneven DC4 diamond stone. I have a rust eraser. I have a little bottle of extreme weapons lube, which is what I use to lubricate my knives. And then I have a strop pad. And the expression is sharpen one, strop for life. I do a lot of knife use around the campfire and in classes. So that's always in there. That's for my knives. And you can see, like, if you just carry a knife and you say, hey, I have my Swiss Army knife on me, I have my knife covered for my 10 essential needs, you're not covered. You have one knife. You need to have multiple knives on you. So Swiss Army knife, folding knife, fixed blade. When I carry this backpack, I'll get to it in a little bit. I carry it lower down in here. I carry a Gossman Tusker. It has a 6 1/4 inch blade, 5 inch handle. It's bigger than the belt knife that I normally have on me. But when I'm running a saw, sometimes it just makes sense to have a saw and a mid-sized knife to baton. I don't need a big chopping tool. I don't necessarily need to have an axe with me. I might have a whole bunch of wood that I just want to process into smaller pieces, and I might only have wrist thickness wood. I still need to get to the inside where it's dry. So I'm going to carry a mid-sized knife and a folding saw, and that's my go-to. But remember, if we follow the 10 essential items, folding saw, knife, sharpening equipment, is that 3? So guys, get away from calling it the 10 essential items. We're looking at the essential needs. Don't forget that. Okay. Right here, this is a Kafaru sheep tarp. And inside the sheep tarp, I made a small pouch to hold MSR groundhog steaks. With this tarp, I have something that I can use as an emergency poncho. I have something that I can use for cover over my head. A good shelter has 3 components, something that you sleep inside of, over and under. If you did your job with dressing for the weather, you're going to have the clothing that you need to get through the night. If you have that seat pad that I mentioned before, you have something that you can sleep on top of. If you have a good tarp, you can make a break from the wind, and now you have something that you're sleeping under. Okay, so shelter components are inside, over, and under. All right, let's get this out of the way. Something else that makes sense, and this is more for comfort than it is anything else. This is a small bivy sack that I got from a buddy of mine. This is from a company called Titanium Goat. I don't even know if Titanium Goat is out anymore, but it's like a sil nylon cover, like a bivy sack. And what I have this for is for any additional moisture that might make its way into my shelter at night. A bivy sack will also keep the bugs off of you. And down here in North Carolina, there are some interesting critters that we have that are on the ground. Now, normally I like sleeping in a hammock, but if I do have to go to the ground, I'll sleep inside of a bivy sack, and anything that's a creepy crawly that could bite won't get through the mosquito netting of the bivy sack. Just remember, you got to have some offset with a bivy sack. You can't just have it up against your skin, the mesh that is. But if you have like a baseball hat, the brim of your hat will keep the mosquito netting off your face, and that mosquito won't be able to reach through the netting to your skin if your hat is giving you a little bit of a standoff. Okay. Now, this is my... I guess you can call it an emergency kit. You can call it a survival kit. It's my second container. It's my second canteen that I carry. So I like the grill, and I use that for like 95% of my water treatment collection, all that. what I'll do is I'll take my grail and I'll treat the water and then I'll pour it into this canteen, which is my standard titanium canteen. But this titanium canteen, I have it rigged up in a Centerline Systems mother canteen carrier. And what this does is it allows me when I get to camp to be able to throw this thing over my shoulder and carry my canteen bandolier style as I'm walking around scouting. It also lets me keep my canteen close by. Since we need water and I'm a water hog, I like having my canteen handy. I can rig this thing up on my belt. I can put this thing in my over my shoulder. So I've got that. But then it also has a pouch on the outside that has additional fire starting equipment. There's a chem light on it. And it's like a little emergency kit, worst case scenario. Inside this canteen kit is a whole bunch of coffee. And guys, I get it. Fieldcraft and Black Rifle Coffee are closely linked. They don't send me free coffee to put in my canteen kit. So I'll take whatever I can get, like those instant cups of coffee. If it's Folgers, then I'll drink Folgers. If it's Starbucks, I'll drink Starbucks. If it's Black Rifle, I'll drink Black Rifle. I just want coffee. So that's what I carry inside my canteen kit. Okay. Inside the backpack, there's also a Ziploc bag that has a spare set of socks. This is part shelter, it's part comfort. When you camp every night, you should change out your socks. You should never go to sleep with wet socks on. Dry feet are a morale booster. And if you pair dry socks with, say, talcum powder, baby powder, it goes a long way. So I highly, highly recommend that you guys carry a second pair of socks in there because that'll save you some agony and frustration of cold feet in the middle of the night. Okay. There is a small possibles pouch in my kit, and this is going to be the one that addresses a lot of different things in that 10 essential needs list. So one more time, 10 essential needs: cutting, fire, hydration, shelter, signaling, trauma first aid, cordage, navigation, illumination, and food. So inside this small possibles pouch, this is from Kafaru also, it's called a pullout pouch. There is a backup knife. There is a backup miniature set of fire starting items in here. There are water treatment tablets. There are Reynolds oven bags that I can use for water collection. There's a small signal mirror, a whistle. There's spare paracord in here, repair equipment, duct tape. Like, this thing's got a little bit of everything, including like a button compass and fish hooks and whatnot. So that's my emergency kit. It's roughly the size of like a decent sandwich. It's about the size of a, like a papaya, and weighs about a pound and a half. So that's inside my backpack, and that's there just in case I got to dip into it. Now, at the very bottom of my backpack is where my Kafaru Wubi is. And the Wubi is probably one of the greatest things that you're ever going to, carry into the great outdoors. The Wubi as a standalone blanket, I mean, military guys will tell you the Wubi is probably good to about 45 degrees, 35 if you have some clothing on, but it's just good to have as an extra insulation layer. If I have my Wubi and I have a tarp over my head and I can sit on my backpack, I can spend a very comfortable night around a tree. If I can build a fire and I can take hot rocks and put them in that spare set of socks, now I have a way of heating the inside of my Wubi and I can sleep extremely well. So my shelter kit is complete inside of this backpack. And then there are some other things here that I just got to point out that I kind of overlooked. There's always a headlamp in my backpack that's attached at the very top of the backpack. Now, the reason for that is if you can't find something in your backpack, you can find your headlamp, turn it on, search through your backpack, and it's always positioned at the very top of your pack, okay? Now, other things, there's always a good whistle in here. As I mentioned, it's in my small emergency kit, but there's another whistle that are on my keys when I put my keys in the very, very top pocket. I don't have a full mess kit in here because the canteen that I have has a nesting cup to it that I can use for boiling water and making a stew if I need to for just one person. This isn't the backpack that I would take if I were backpacking with my girlfriend or with friends, and I was supporting them out of my backpack. I'd want to expand the capacity and expand the size of the tools in here. But that's something that, you know, we can always do by just switching out the gear from one pack to another. Something that's here, this is in the very, very bottom pocket right here. Pocket Rocket. MSR Pocket Rocket. MSR Pocket Rocket with a small canister of fuel weighs almost nothing, ounces. And I consider it to be one of the most important tools that you can carry when you're camping somewhere where you're not easily going to be able to make fire and boil water over a campfire. Now, you have to be careful with that canister of fuel. You can't fly with canisters of fuel, but you can fly with the Jetboil. Jetboil is a great stove. It's just Jetboil, Pocket Rocket. You can't fly with the fuel, but you can fly with the stove. And I highly recommend you guys carry one of those stoves. They don't weigh much. They're like $40 for the Pocket Rocket. And there's a whole bunch of them on the surplus market from the global war on terror. You can find them relatively inexpensively. You can find them on eBay. You find them, you know, Facebook Marketplace and all that. Get yourself a Pocket Rocket. It's a vital, vital equipment. All right. So now going through the list here, cutting needs, I mentioned Gossman Tusker. It's here. I mentioned the fire starting kit, hydration needs. Like I said, the Grail is my go-to. Shelter IOU. Signaling, if you have a Garmin inReach, that is as good as it gets. Depending on where you are and what group you're going with, you may want to break down a Baofeng UV5R radio and throw that in your pack as a backup. You may be fine with just your cell phone, but that's another method of signaling. Whistle and mirror will gain someone's attention, but it doesn't send a great message of what the issue is. Whereas the Garmin inReach, you can send a very clear message with a text message function. Now, keep in mind that it also will sync with your phone, making messaging even easier. All right, trauma first aid. I already mentioned that that's carried on the outside of your pack. Just make sure that you're checking the dates on all of that. Cordage, binding needs, duct tape, paracord, jute twine, all of that is carried in your backpack in different places. So I've got some in my small emergency kit. I've got that large hank of paracord in the upper pocket of my kit. And then with my shelter, I have pre-cut lengths of cordage. And just keep in mind, like, people laugh when I say I carry 6 feet, 3 inches of cord every day. And they're like, well, how do you get 6 feet, 3 inches? Well, if you start off with 100 feet and you cut it in half, you get 50. Cut it in half again, you get 25. Cut it in half again, you get 12 feet, 6 inches. Cut it in half again, you get 6 feet, 3 inches. So with that being said, that's why I carry 6 feet, 3 inches every single day. All right. Going through this list, let's see what else we got. Food gathering. If you're backpacking, you can throw a Mountain House meal in your pack. You can throw dried meat and whatnot. I just grabbed this one out of my office. Typically, I throw brand new food into my pack before I go out. But you might be of the mindset where it's like, there will always be food in your pack. And that could just be as simple as ReadyWise food or Mountain House or whatever it may be. So that's going to be on you guys. But now let's talk about beyond the basics. And these are some of the things that, like, when we used to run the advanced survival class at the Wilderness Learning Center, we would tell students, like, hey, keep track of the things that you wished you had. And one of the things that they wished they had was food flavoring, something that could change the flavor of the food because they thought it was all bland. Salt goes a really long way. At Rewilding, the first one last year in July, we had students take Element drink mix, and they put Element drink mix, the mango chili one, they put that on top of the chicken that they were grilling on a hot rock, and they said it was amazing. Maybe you'll find a dual purpose for some of the stuff that's out there. That stuff just happens to be super salty, which makes food taste great. drink mixes, Element, High C, loads of sugar, coffee, anything that you can use to change the flavor of the water is going to go pretty far. So that is something that people are always asking about. Like, hey, what can I carry? Carry drink mix, carry flavoring for your food. Folding saw, I already mentioned, but something that I didn't mention that people wish they had, clippers, pruning clippers, something that when they made their emergency shelter, instead of using a saw and getting sawdust in their eyes because they're on their back trimming away all the sharp branches, they wish they just had a pair of clippers, like one-handed clippers. I get it. And if you're a hunter, fantastic way of clearing your shooting lane. If you are an East Coast hunter and you're hunting in the thick woods and you just got to get that pesky branch out of the way, just bring a pair of clippers with you. That way you're not hacking at something in the middle of the morning and scaring everything off. You just do one quiet clip, everything's out of the way. Something that I didn't mention here, this is my day pack. Like, if I do need to spend a night out, I could. If I am spending a night out, the seat pad is replaced with a full-size camping pad. And I like the Z-Rest pads. I like the ones that accordion, because you can fold it into different size rectangles, and you can actually fit it between the body of your backpack and, say, the Sherman pouch that I have here. Some people, if you're using like a dry bag and it doesn't have any rigidity, you can line the inside of your dry bag with your sleeping pad, and now you have rigidity, so stuff doesn't poke through your bag from the inside out. Something that I didn't mention here, firearms. If you're used to hiking, you're going to want to be able to carry firearms. I like chest rigs, but keep in mind that the standard chest rig now, like the big square that everyone's wearing on their chest, people know that that's where firearms are located. You can find alternative ways of carrying firearms. I like Black Point Tactical holsters. There's a chest rig that I can wear a jacket over the holster. I can have my backpack over the top. I unzip the jacket and it's right there. It kind of rides in that little bit of a recess we have between our pecs, or you should have if you work out. But that's how I carry my pistol usually when I'm hiking. All these items here are subject to change. Okay. And something that needs to be said is that, you know, mission dictates our gear. And if I go out in the winter, then I'm going to carry winter gear. If I go to the swamp, I'm going to carry gear that lets me get up off the ground because I'm probably going to be sleeping in water. Mission dictates gear, and then the scenario dictates the tactics, and everyone's scenario is going to be different. And part of that scenario is you. So when you look at one person, you're like, man, that person's only carrying XYZ. I carry this, this, this. Well, you are not in their scenario. So just remember that when I'm going through the list of the gear that I carry in my backpack when I teach a class, my scenario will be different based on what I know, where I know I'm going, and so forth. If I were traveling somewhere where I wasn't certain, I would probably overpack just because I can't guarantee that I'll have trees to hang up my hammock. So I need to be prepared to sleep on the ground as well as suspend between the trees. Now, I'm going back hopefully this summer to Leadville, Colorado, where I had one of the greatest backpacking fishing trips of my entire life. And I caught, I don't know how many cutthroat trout up there with my buddies, Justin and Orion. But I will say this, I carried way too much because I didn't know what the scenario was going to be. I didn't know what the environment was going to be like. Now I know, and I'll probably pack about half the amount of weight, and it's going to be a very, very different trip because I'm packing lighter and I won't be gassed as easily. So keep this in mind as you guys go through and you are packing out your own backpack. How much weight do you actually want to carry? This backpack with everything that I already mentioned in it, I could weigh it again, but I'm pretty sure I'm just under 20 pounds, which is easy. All day hiking with just under 20 pounds. And that's with water included and everything. If you're going over 20% of your body weight, that's when you're going to start feeling more of a tax on your ankles and on your knees and on all your joints, your lower back and all that. So for me, that's about 40 pounds, 45 maybe. So you want to make sure that you're not carrying too much weight. You can go the other extreme where you're carrying too little and you're going to freeze at night. And just remember that that's what the old Rogers Rangers motto was: travel light, freeze at night. And I don't want you guys to do that. Guys, if you want to practice packing and practice your skills, please come and train. Right now on the calendar, there's a whole bunch of courses that are lining up in North Carolina. This coming weekend, at the time of this recording, I'll be training with Jason Smith on his property. Please check out Hobo Forge Survival. Jason's a good friend, former SEER instructor. He's been on the podcast, and he's right here in Cameron. So he and I are going to be doing a lot this year together. And I'm excited because he actually gave me one of his Hobo Forge hatchets, his tomahawks, his Hobo Hawk. And it's pretty badass. I'm probably going to take it out this weekend and beat the crap out of it. And it's going to take that. But guys, please come and train survival skills. Please come and train land navigation skills. Please come and train shotgun skills. Got a whole bunch of shotgun courses coming up this coming weekend. Is it this weekend or next weekend? Rick Lofton is teaching. And if you guys don't know Rick, Rick is the real deal. Probably the best shooter I've seen in person. One of the most proficient guys I've seen with a pistol and with a rifle. Excellent instructor. Any chance I can get as a student, I'm going to jump into his class. And he's just one of those really, really good guys who has done so much for this country, but he won't talk about it. He is a true quiet professional, and I respect the heck out of him for that. Guys, if you have any questions about how to pack your backpack, shoot me an email, estella@fieldcraftsurvival.com. You can send me a photo of your gear, like laid out, and be like, hey, here's what I have, is there anything I'm missing? And I'll take a look at it. I might not give you the longest answer in the world, but I will give you some type of answer. And go out there and experiment with your gear. You will see that dirty gear is honest gear. So when you get out there and you use your gear, you're going to know if it works or it doesn't. Get out there and see what other people are using. That's why it's fun to come to classes, because you might have an idea of like, this is the best thing ever, but then someone else shows up to the class with something that was maybe even less expensive or more widely available. And you're like, damn, I should have gotten one of those. But please come out, test out your gear, set up your kit so it works for you. It doesn't work against you. And if hopefully this podcast brought a little bit of inspiration of what you can carry, how you can carry it. And if you guys continue to enjoy listening to the things that I carry and the things that I use and like the loadout vehicles that I did with my 4Runner and, you know, my everyday carry backpack that I just looked today, it's at 250,000 views in a year. So thanks for all you, YouTubers out there that have been paying attention to that. If you guys like these, let me know and I'll keep doing them, because there are first, second, and third line gear lists that I can go over and I can talk at length about. But for now, I'm going to sign off of this podcast. I'm going to get some sleep. We got a long week of building up for the training course this weekend, and I got to rest my voice because I'm still fighting off that stupid Western Hunt Expo, the bug. So guys, thanks so much for listening. Please check out all the training that we offer and our app and our YouTube channel and all that great stuff. And we'll see you next time.